Let's bow our heads for prayer again. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're thankful that you are alive. And we're thankful this morning that you are, because you are alive, that we can be alive today, that we can live spiritually, that we can have your grace, your power, your life within us. Thank you, Father. And we just pray, God, your blessing upon us as we continue to wait here and worship before you, Father, that you be glorified, O God, that we could be encouraged in you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we greet you this morning, greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We're blessed to be in the house of God and to hearing the Word of God and the testimonies of the brothers and sisters and the singing. I was blessed with the singing today. And it's a beautiful day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We had the resurrection story in our Sunday school lesson, and we talked about a lot of verses that were pertained to the resurrection, and I intend to talk some more about the resurrection. And it was interesting that I think of all the verses and scriptures that we talked about, I don't think we talked about any of the verses that I intend to talk about. So there's much in the Bible about the resurrection of Jesus. It's actually the foundation of our faith. It's the keystone of our faith. If there was no resurrection, there would be no hope. There would be no salvation. We would have no basis for our Christianity. It would not be. Our Christ would be no different than all the other gods that lived and died, and leaders that lived and died. But Jesus is different. He died and He rose again. And He's in heaven. He's on the throne interceding for us today. I'm going to ask a question. When was the first Easter? Does anybody know when was the first Easter? When Jesus rose from the dead. Okay. Does anybody else have any different answer than that? Jake. Probably. Yeah. Easter. Okay, we have the resurrection of Jesus. And it was right at the time of the Passover, which was in Egypt. And also, I'm not making a big deal of this, but Easter was the wife of the goddess of spring, which the pagans worshipped 2,000 years before Christ. And I believe all three of these sort of run simultaneous in time. As far as it's springtime, it's resurrection time, it's Passover time. They all sort of come together. But the worship of the goddess Easter was the one that included all the Easter eggs and bunnies and all those things were basically a part of that pagan practice that took place 2,000 years before Christ was ever born. So I feel there's a big difference between the way the world celebrates Easter and what we talk about today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I feel they probably all they ran parallel to what this time of the year, and I believe it's appropriate to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't really have anything in the Bible that tells us that we should do that or that we should celebrate that today. But I don't believe that the Easter Bunny has anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that is another world. That's another subject of what we're talking about here today. Today, we are excited that Jesus rose from the dead. And we are excited, and we know that it is the most important thing that ever happened in the history of mankind, that the resurrection of Jesus. I would like to read this morning in Matthew chapter 28. The story there is probably very similar to the one in Mark, but I think we'll just read it again. It's good for us. There are probably a few little differences, but not a whole lot. Here it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell him his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And now when they were going, behold, some which came to the city showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, he will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying was commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, unto teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A few things that were interesting to me here is it says that he refers to the fact that I told you these things. The Lord had said these things before, that this would be the way it's going to be. But when the time came, they were fearful and they were afraid, like we talked about this morning. There was fear, and the disciples were afraid, but Jesus was there and was reaching out to them, and it says the angel said unto the woman, said, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which is crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. That is the best news that we've ever heard in the world. Those words, be not here, he was risen. It says, come and see the place where he lay. And they went and they told his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Now I'd like to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul talks a lot about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection and the effect that the resurrection has on the people of God. You know, it seems like there was a time in the early church where there were certain ones that they were still doubtful about the resurrection and they were not sure about the resurrection. And Paul brings out here the very critical importance of the fact of the resurrection and of the importance of teaching the resurrection. If the resurrection was not, where would we be today? And what would we have to stand on if we did not have the resurrection? Here, Paul speaks in verse 12 of 15, he says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised from the dead, whom He raised not up, if so be that He did not, if the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? For if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which were fallen asleep in Christ are perished." And he says here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we were just, if we had no hope beyond the grave, if we just had this life to live, and we just had, if Christ was just for this life only, and we had no hope beyond the grave, we would be of all men most miserable. What would be the goal of our coming together and our worshiping God if we did not have a resurrection to look forward to? If we did not have an eternity with Him to look forward to, we would be of all men most miserable. And we know there are many miserable people like that today. They do not have the resurrection of Jesus to look forward to. They do not have a resurrection into eternal life to look forward to. And these people are, of course, much miserable. But it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and He has become the first fruits of them that slept." In other words, why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, we also rise from the dead, and we have the life of Jesus within us, and we can look forward to being with Him throughout all of eternity. It says, "Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that they are Christ, that are Christ at His coming." In other words, Christ opened the way for us. He is the one, He made the way. In Adam, all died. It said, because of Adam's sin, death came upon all men, for that all have died. But in Christ, Christ rose from the dead, triumphant over that death. And He is triumphant over death and hell, so that you and I can have victory over death and hell, that we can be triumphant over death, that we can have a hope that we don't need not to die. As that one song we sang this morning, that we, the Christian, will not die and cannot die because Jesus rose from the dead, and that we have that resurrection hope within us. Then it says, "Then cometh the end, when He shall be delivered up. We shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for He hath put all things under His feet. And when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then is the Son of Man also himself to be subject under him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Here it talks about I'm not sure what this baptizing for the dead was, but it seems like there was, I'm not quite sure that whether that was in the Christian church or if that was just a practice that some people had. But we have this hope within us that we have a future before us, that we can live with God throughout all of eternity because of the resurrection. And we praise God for that. Where was it in this verse 4? Verse 4 here is where it says, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I wanted to read that verse here in verse 4 of chapter 15. It says that he rose again according to the Scriptures. So we have that Old Testament Scriptures that give us that description of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read a couple of those Scriptures in the Old Testament. In Hosea chapter 6, a few verses there that describe the resurrection. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and he shall live. We shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and the former rain. Here it talks about the resurrection on the third day, the resurrection that is prophesied, I believe, of Jesus Christ. And also in Psalms chapter 16, Psalm 16, verse 10. It says, and thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And then in thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I believe this is also talking about the prediction of Christ, the resurrection, that it was predicted in the Old Testament. That it was something that was, it was not new. It was something that was prophesied that Jesus would raise again. He would not be left to see corruption, but that he would be raised again to newness of life. Another verse I want to look at this morning that is very powerful to me. In Acts chapter Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, in my mind. It says, and if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead. That same power, that same God, that same presence, can dwell in me and in you. It can dwell, it says, in your mortal bodies. That's now. That's not talking about sometime later. That's talking about that power of the resurrection dwelling within our bodies that are mortal, our bodies that are going to decay. We can have that presence of God dwelling within us today. He will quicken us. He gives life. He gives that we heard talked about this morning, that life that comes from God dwelling within us to empower us and to strengthen us and to make our life have meaning, that we can experience reality in our walk with God. That power that raised up Jesus from the dead can dwell within our mortal bodies. That is awesome. That is the essence of Christianity. That is the essence of our experience with God. That we have that same resurrection power dwelling within us. And I like what I read in one of the commentaries I was reading in concerning this verse. And I'm going to read something here. It says, "And the sense is that under the gospel, by the influence of the Spirit, the entire man will be made alive in the service of God. Even the corrupt and mortal body," that's the thing that we live in right now, this corrupt and mortal body, "so long under the dominion of sin, should be made alive and recovered to the service of God. This will be done by the Spirit that dwells in us, because the Spirit restores life to our soul. It abides with us with His purifying influence. And because the design and tendency of His indwelling is to purify the entire man and restore all to God." That's the essence of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's what it is intended to mean and to do for each of us today. As it dwells within us, it purifies us, it sanctifies us, and it restores us to God. For what reason? For His service. I like the emphasis on that. For His service. That's the reason that He empowers us. He doesn't empower us just so we can feel inflated in ourselves. What does it? He empowers us for one purpose. He empowers us for His service. That's something that is very interesting to me in Matthew 8. In Matthew 8, where I read about the resurrection, where Jesus talked to His disciples, and He talked about He gave them commission. He commissioned them in Matthew 28. You know, after all this resurrection took place, and He came back to them, what was the one thing that He told them to do? He says, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." Then He says, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he doesn't. The influence of the power of God within us, yes, it purifies us. It cleanses us. It sanctifies us. But it doesn't do that just so that we sit around like a whole bunch of good people. Just to look good. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is so that we go and we serve and we minister and we reach out. There's a purpose for this power. The purpose is not that just, you know, it's the design is that we are empowered, we are purified for the service of God. And I think that's sometimes something we miss. We think that, yes, we are here to be God's people and to be God's holy people. But His holiness is given to us for the reason to glorify Him and to serve Him and to be ministers for Him. To go into the world and to preach the gospel and to teach others that others will be brought into the kingdom. That the gospel would be spread around the world. And I'm afraid too many times the reason that we don't experience more power than we do is because we have no motivation to do anything with it. What do we want power for if we don't have a purpose for it? The purpose for the power is for His service. It's to go, to minister, to let it reach out, to touch others' lives. The water of life coming forth from within to minister to the lives of others. I love that. He says, so long as we are under the... So says she... He, this, the corrupt and mortal body, so long being under dominion of sin, shall be made alive and recovered to the service of God. That is beautiful. I love that. From Barnes's notes. So that is the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, comes within us, and it raises us up and quickens our mortal body to be of service to God. And that's my challenge to all of us. And it's my challenge to myself. You know, last night as I was studying this verse and I was meditating on it and I was being excited about the power that comes into us, the power of the resurrection coming into our mortal bodies. I was there in my cabin and I stepped out for a little fresh air. I'm usually, you know, in and out and all around when I'm studying. And I saw a couple of fishermen down by the creek and I decided, I'll go talk to them. I didn't know who they were for sure. I thought I might know. And so I went down and I shared a few words with them and the conversation would have opened up beautiful for me to share Jesus. The opportunity was right there. And I didn't do it. And I walked back up to the cabin. I was feeling terrible. Hear all this. God has given us all the power of the resurrection that comes within us to serve Him. And I'm so weak. I am just so weak. I just confess, I just felt completely defeated and deflated. And I don't know. It just helped me to see it myself. You know, I can't do it. I can't do it myself. If I'm going to depend on me to do something, it won't work. But we need to see our weakness. Like the scriptures that were shared this morning about whenever we bear about in the body this dying, this death, so that the power of Jesus can come forth. And it's only as we are dead in ourselves that God can use us in ways beyond what we can imagine. So I think God just taught me a lesson there last night, that this power only comes through complete humility and brokenness and humbleness before Him. If I think I'm going to go and do something great, I'm going to do something big for Him, it won't work. God can't use me that way. But only as I am broken, as I am surrendered, as I am crucified, as I am weak, when I am weak, then He can make me strong. When I am nothing, then He can lift me up. And that's the thing of the Christian life that is so, it's hard to grasp. You know, it's only when we are broken, when we are surrendered, when we are nothing in ourselves, only then God can use us. And only then will He use us in the way that He designed to use us. And so, that's my challenge to all of us this morning, that we can stay out of the way and let God. Just stay out of the way and let God. It's sort of a hard thing to say or to preach, but it's let go and let God. It's to be just crucified to Christ and allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. It's the only way it'll work. So I confess, I have need of experiencing more of Him and less of myself. And I want to experience that more and more as I walk with Him. I don't have a great feeling of power within me, but I know that God's power is to those that are humble and broken before Him. God will visit them. And that's the beautiful thing I see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives us a hope for the future, and it gives us strength for the day. As we bark ourselves before Him and put our faith in His finished work, that we can allow God to be the center of our life. And that's my challenge to all of us today. Let's just surrender everything to God and break ourselves before Him, that this power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. God bless you. James.